This is Talk with Audrey. Welcome back. According to the National Institutes of Health, 1 in 5 Americans struggle with a devastating neurological condition, Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, or serious mental illness. And you combine that with the fact that people are now living longer than ever, and the chances of being diagnosed with a brain disorder increase as we age, and clearly, something needs to happen. My guests today are Tish Hevel, she's the founder and CEO of the Brain Donor Project, and Petroski Lawson, founder of Black Men in Biotech. And we're going to talk about the challenges facing medical researchers today as they try to increase the understanding of brain disorders in all people, but lack the diversity of participants in medical research to do so effectively. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much for being here. Let's first talk about the Brain Donor Project and how it was developed, Tish.
Happy to, Audrey. Thanks for the question. We started this in back in 2016. My father had passed the year before from Lewy bodies dementia, which we had never heard of. And in our efforts to figure out what it was, we kept coming across brain donation. And so we made arrangements to donate his brain, but it was very, very complicated at the time. The National Institutes of Health had just started this new program of brain banks, and it was tough to navigate. So we got in touch after a while and asked if we could help. And then we started our program. It's at braindonorproject.org. And the whole idea is to raise awareness of the critical need for people to donate their brains when they die, and then to make it simpler. So people just go to our website, fill out a brief online form, and then we connect them with the brain bank that makes the most sense.
So donating a brain to some people is against their religious beliefs as well. What all is involved with and in the process of donating your brain?
You know what? It's interesting that you bring that up, Audrey, because it's not part of organ donation. Brain donation is not part of organ donation. However, the organ donation people have sort of fought that battle in the past. You know, they have worked with all the major recognized religions and helped them understand that that brain donation does and organ donation does benefit mankind in general. So there are a lot of special dispensations for that. I will admit, though, that there are some cultural things, and Petroski can speak to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in my community, being brutally honest, my mom is suffering from early onset or dementia, we think. That's another reason why Brain Donor Project is so important. We think, we don't know. In many instances in the Black community, there's this view that this is just a natural way to age, and that is a myth. That's not reality. The more we know, the more we grow. So in my community, yeah, the brain donation is perceived by some as we don't want to tamper with the body because, you know, we're going to heaven. And my point is that there are 6.5 million people in this country who are diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And Black people are twice as likely than whites to be diagnosed with this condition. And 50% of all the cases in the Black community go undiagnosed. So this is a huge problem in the Black community that we need to get our arms around. And I think taking the religious issue head on is a smart way to do that. So
it's my understanding that Alzheimer's and dementia can't really be diagnosed until after death, right? People take the test, then the doctors say that there are cognitive issues, but that to really diagnose it, that you have to look at the brain. Is that the case as well?
Absolutely true, especially with neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's and ALS and Parkinson's and some of the others. They can suspect it, and they've gotten really good at figuring out exactly how to suspect it, but you don't get a definitive diagnosis. You're right. One of the beauties of brain donation is the family gets a copy of that report. And so now that we're understanding so much more about the genetic underpinnings of so many things, real soon, that's going to be super valuable information for the family to have down the road.
Amen. Amen, Tish. And let me just, if I may, just jump in here. Very, very important what Tish just said, because in the journey that I am going on with my family, with my mom and with my grandfather, and I'm sure millions of Black and brown people are going on. They just want to know. And so imagine being able to get to the end of the journey and have answers, because so much of this trauma that families are dealing with is that they don't have a clue. And I would add that if you're in rural communities, if you're in South Georgia where I am, it would be nice to have a doctor to see a specialist within a year to tell you that you have some sort of cognitive decline. That's not happening in many parts of this country. That's a different conversation for a different day, but I'm with Tish on this one. This giving families some comfort at the end is another really good reason why we should be doing this.
Even though they can't diagnose it definitively, people do start to notice changes. And knowing that perhaps another family member had that same experience is helpful. But if there were more African Americans donating their brains, we would have a pathway, if you will, to better understanding it and treating it. That's ultimately the goal, right, Petroski?
Yes, ultimately the goal. And your statement was well constructed in that. That ultimately that will help with stigma. It will help with better understanding. And as I said at the outset, you know, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. And that is a very important point for the African-American community. We need to be at the table. We need to have a seat at this very important table to help scientists and figure out this debilitating disease.
So I mentioned early the importance of diversity of brains, right, when it comes to research. Do you think that there might be differences between various ethnicities when it comes to brains and the way that brains work? Because that's another little bugaboo, okay? What are you looking for when it comes to the diversity?
Neuroscientists need to understand if there are. And what they may be. How else are they going to come up with treatments and therapies that are safe and effective for all of us? It's like the science is incomplete if it's not representative of all of us. And so until they have their hands on at least representative tissues from many different communities of people, they're guessing. And we're not all the same. You know, we're not all the same. We're not constructed the same. We're not the same, but we all need to be included in this study.
100%. And if you believe that the data point that I mentioned at the outset, that 50%, that African Americans are twice as likely to be diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Why? What is that? We need to tease that out a little bit more. Is it environmental? Is it, you know, is it nature versus nurture? So all of that, to Tish's point, is extremely important for researchers to tease out.
And why is a really big question. Is it the foods that we're eating, the foods we're not eating? Are there nutrition deficits? Are there chemical deficits? Like what? Why? Because Alzheimer's and dementia has been around for a very, very long time. People didn't talk about it, right? They just assumed that it was a natural part of aging, as you mentioned, but we know that it is not. And how to prevent it, if at all possible, or to prolong someone's life or to put it off, or I don't know what you guys are working on, but whatever you can do, because it's impacting so many families.
It really is. It's just so tragic. You know, people say it's like you got to say goodbye for a long, long time. And science has already discovered so many things about, you know, brain health inequity. And so you're right. Is it an issue that, you know, with housing redlining and where Black communities are located, that the environment is lacking or toxic or whatever? We don't know. And until we find out more, you know, the cycle is going to continue and we've got to stop it. We got to understand what's going on with people and how we can make them healthy.
100%. And Brain Donor Project .org is a great place to start, Tish. I think that's part of the solution to this. We need everybody in this fight, as I like to say. If you think about the civil rights movement, it was a movement. And that's what we're talking about, is creating a movement, because we need everyone working on this. We need the scientists and the researchers, but we need Black and brown communities to step up to the plate. We need churches. We need sororities. We need everyone talking about the importance of brain donation so that we can figure this out. Because my last is, you know, no one is coming to save us, you know, but us. I always like to use that term, and I think about it as a Black man who grew up in the South, the deep South, South Georgia, around segregation. I didn't grow up in a segregated world, but my mom did. And I just remember the stories about not waiting for others to come in and save us. And I do think with the issue of brain donation, this is could be a way that we can get more of our community involved in this very important issue. Or twice as likely to get it, you know, and we need to solve for this. So I'm very much committed to this and thank Tish for all the great work that she's doing. And I want my community to be involved.
The two of you have had and are having direct experience with this issue. And it is important. I know of many friends whose parents have passed from dementia and or Alzheimer's, and it does seem to be prevalent in our communities. Kind of a gross question. After you donate an organ, and in this case, your brain, what happens to it after you're finished?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Questions about the logistics. So first of all, it's not part of organ donation. You got to make separate arrangements to be a brain donor. And that's why it's best to go to braindonorproject.org to start the process. But the logistics are a little curious. So basically, after someone is registered, when they would pass, the family makes two phone calls, one to the funeral home and one to the brain bank that they're registered with. And then those two organizations coordinate this. So the body gets transported generally to the funeral home. Brain bank sends a pathologist or recovery specialist there. They gently remove the brain through the back of the head so it's not disfiguring at all. They treat it with respect. An open casket is still an option. And then the brain is shipped to the brain bank. Then the body is released to the family to proceed with, you know, whatever burial or celebration of life service, homecoming, homegoing is going on. And then they, you know, everything goes on. There's no cost to the family to do this. Like we said, they get a copy of that report. And and that's the logistics of it. A lot of people are curious about that. So I'm glad you brought it up.
But then what happens when you're finished with the brain?
Then the body is released to the family technically to proceed with whatever they normally would do. You know, it's you can proceed with a normal funeral.
But is the brain at any point returned to the family for burial, or that's just a question?
No, that's a good question. They keep the brain at the brain bank and use it to help scientists. So scientists go to their portal and say, I'm studying Alzheimer's disease. I need brain samples from, you know, X kinds of people for my funded study, and they can take those samples. It's funny, there's really no shelf life for these brains. I mean, they can use them for a long, long, long time. And, you know, but if they run out of certain brain areas or certain disease states, it will slow research. So that brain is used to help further science for as long as it lasts. You know what I mean? For as long as it's needed.
And can you only designate that brain be used, say, for Alzheimer's or dementia research, or can the brain be used for additional reasons?
So it is used for neuroscience research. Once the brain is received, it undergoes all these kinds of tests before scientists really determine it is the brain of a next-year-old man or woman with X diseases. And they, you know, so once that's decided, that's what the brain is there for. Okay. So that's what, if scientists are looking for Alzheimer's, they'll go to that brain to get Alzheimer's. We say that people can't really make that decision because you don't know what else might develop between when they're registered and when they die. So, you know, it's used for neuroscience research, but it depends on what the final diagnosis is.
Right, right. Yeah. Just want people to have a better understanding because if I'm asking the questions, I figure anybody out there who's listening is also asking the questions. And I also think it's important, Petrosky, that there are more Black men in medicine and in biotech who are shepherding this research for the community as well. Guys, so again, brain donation, I know it's not something you want to think about, but when it comes to developing treatment options and, you know, medications and prolonging life, if we are going to be considered, they need diversity, and that includes our brains as well. I'm not a doctor, guys, as you know, but that's all I can say. Let me leave the rest to Tish and Trosky. What would you say to encourage people?
I would say amen. Everything you just said and then some. So we need everyone at the table. And just go to braindonorproject.org to get the process started and join us on this crusade.
Thanks for having us.
It's my absolute pleasure. Ooh, there's more to come after the break.